Hello, everybody. This is your new predictions champion, Mike.
Yeah, he happened to win the last one because I won 2 out of 3, and they were non-title. Anyway, I'm Bash.
And this is House of Pod.
Your soon-to-be champion.
You wish.
I mean, we got another one coming up.
We had a great revolution, didn't we, Basham?
I mean, it was certainly how you do a pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's fine. Elimination Chamber's coming back up where no one has the advantage.
I've been working my shoulder so I can carry the gold around with me more. Just the one. So I'm going to be very disproportionate towards the end. So we will talk about AEW's Revolution in a little bit. We're going to get – there's once again another wrestling episode. So apologize to the non-wrestlers. But we're going to start out with all of the non-graps moves. News is what I meant to say.
Yes.
Starting with something that came out, I believe, after we finished recording last week. It said that Steven Spielberg is not going to be directing Indiana Jones 5. Apparently, he's just doing a producing role, which, like I said earlier today, like, yeah, I mean, Crystal Skull wasn't that good. I'm sure he says that he wants to kind of put the mantle on to, like, another director and, like, let Indiana Jones, like, you know, someone else take the reign. I'm like, I think I understand why.
Yeah.
But he's still doing a producing role. That really doesn't mean – could mean a variety of things. Like, he could be backing the money from it because it's his story. He could have just that title, so
– retaining rights.
Yeah, basically. But so, yeah, I don't – I mean, I was not a big fan of the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So I'm interested to see.
Yeah, they focused on making it too much of an action film, not an Indiana Jones film.
Yeah, and I'm hoping this next one doesn't have any aliens in it.
Or fire ants.
Yeah, that too.
Actually, the fire ants are okay. The swinging through the trees kind of killed it for me.
Oh, the George of the Jungle scene?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, him getting dragged behind a truck wasn't that believable, but... at least it's still, you showed him struggling, not just like, all right, Tarzan.
Exactly.
I've swung from ropes. It's really hard.
Yeah, but not if you're Shia LaBeouf.
That is true. I forgot.
Didn't Indiana Jones do that too? He's a
real-life cannibal, Shia LaBeouf.
Didn't Indiana Jones do that too in that scene?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, because I was like, that's...
No, he was keeping up with a car by swinging through the trees on vines.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I don't. Yeah, that's probably why Spielberg stepped down. I don't know how much creative control he had on that movie, but
it was creative.
It was creative. Bish.
Speaking of action heroes that would get owned by John Wick, James Bond is actually the James Bond No Time to Die film has been delayed November 25th.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Delayed till November 25th.
Reshoots or
Either reshoots or coronavirus, one of the two.
Ah, yes, everybody's getting down on them Corona lights.
Mm-hmm.
It's the issue.
Yeah, but one movie that I think it is still going to be released on time is the Batman. And Matt Reeves just released 3 new set photos.
Yes,
of the Batmobile and the Batsuit.
Yeah,
the Batmobile kind of I use that very loosely, resembles the old 66 Batman Batmobile.
It does have,
but the engine in the back is just.
It's because it doesn't look like a tank; it looks like a car.
Yeah,
like it's supposed to be. Where the past couple Batmobiles we've had have been like tanks. Basically, essentially.
Hey, man, Ben Affleck's was not a tank.
It looked like a tank.
It was still like the old Batmobile.
It was like tank-like.
The Tankmobile.
Having like giant turrets on the back of it and like shit like that. Like it's not a Batmobile. I still think, slight sidetrack, what do you think's a more iconic Batmobile? The Tim Burton Batman?
Yes.
Or the Dark Knight, or I'm sorry, not Dark Knight, Batman Animated Series Batmobile.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that can compete.
I would go with the Animated Series.
I would actually have to say Tim Burton.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that one, ooh, that was weird. I think that one had a little bit too much Burton flair to it.
Nah, just the right amount.
Just the right amount. I don't know, man. I love that.
No, the Batman Forever Batmobile had a little bit too much flair to it.
Oh, yeah, with the giant tail fins and shit.
Yeah, and the glowing blue ribs or whatever that was.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I didn't know that they had costume set pieces or shots as well, unless you're just talking about him standing next to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like full ones. It was just kind of like, okay, we can kind of see...
Gotcha. I was like, oh, man, I missed something.
Yeah, no, not that much. But we actually do have another costume reveal, kind of. We have set leaks from the Loki series.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, we see him actually wearing a, like, time variance authority. He kind of looks like one of those FBI agents you'd see in one of these, like, you know, TV weekly shows. Where he's wearing, like, a Time Variance Authority, like, blue jacket, but instead of FBI, it's, like, TVA over it. Gotcha. He's wearing, like, khakis and a button-up shirt.
What?
Yeah, but that's not actually important. We also see the Sophie Di Martino as Enchantress, or according to the interweb, the female Loki, which actually is a canon thing, but I don't think they're going with this. Like, there's already been leaks that it's going to be Enchantress, so
yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that would make way more sense if they did it as Enchantress.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's her.
Yeah.
And then we actually have two more sightings. I guess we're getting Batroc the Leaper, played by George St. Pierre in Winter Soldier, in Falcon and Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm.
along with Omega Red.
Yeah.
I'm not sure in what capacity.
I think we mentioned that...
But before it was a leak, now it's confirmed.
Oh, it is confirmed. Okay.
Yes. Now they actually have like photos that circulated.
Ooh, that I didn't see. I'll have to check those out.
I think they were taken down immediately, but I'll have to go try to find them again.
Of course. I'm sure Reddit will save the day.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't photos. It was Disney made a statement that they weren't happy with Charles Murphy for sharing that information.
Oh, okay.
So
they made a statement, and then they were like, oh, shit, and then they took their statement down?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, like, wait a minute, that shit,
damn it. That's all right. I mean, when I read spoilers, I don't, in my eyes, it's like reading about something and then actually seeing it is like two separate things. So still seeing Omega Red on screen is going to be so cool. So cool.
It depends exactly how they use him.
I want him. No, and I guess.
I mean, if you do Omega Red, you have to have Wolverine in there, though. That's.
Well,
because his healing factor always counteracted the death spores.
You don't necessarily have to have him in like this particular world, I guess. Like
no,
now,
but eventually.
Eventually, yeah. I mean, that's definitely going to happen. But
or Hulk versus Omega Red.
This is how they need to like slowly introduce these X-Men characters. And this is, I mean, having Omega Red is a primarily X-Men villain, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So like that's a good step forward, I suppose. Is kind of doing shit like that. So, much excited.
Yes. I got one more thing on weekly episodes, though. We have Last Wednesday, we had a multi-part series finale for the Free the Delete.
Ah, yes.
And episode 10 features the Bucks of Youth. Matt Hardy to AEW confirmed. Either that or he's just called in favors from, like, everyone and been like, hey, guys, I'll add speculation to your channel if just we do a, like, five-part series where he just, like, okay, here's me in New Japan.
Yeah,
here's me with a star from Ring of Honor.
Here's me with a
star from NXT.
I saw a lot of videos that said that it was, like, Matt Hardy confirmed AEW. But, like, just because, like, they showed up doesn't mean that... he's going to be with it. I mean, I really hope that that's what's actually going to happen. But like, if you're looking at the lore of Matt Hardy's character, the Young Bucks play a part in it. So like, that's why they would be in it. So that I mean, it's awesome, but this could also be just like the biggest tease in the entire world. Just, you know, to give everyone blue balls.
Or he really could just be a free agent for a while and he's just wrestling everywhere. Maybe he goes on another expedition for gold.
Ooh, that would be really cool.
That was awesome because they won all the tag team championships.
Oh, yeah. I love this. I love those shots of them just draped in gold.
Yeah, the Undisputed Era has nothing on the Hardys.
Right.
But let's move on to more wrestling news. I actually found out why the Canadian Destroyer has been seen so much in WWE.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Vince was on a taping of NXT. He saw it. He's like, oh, wow, why are we doing that on the main roster? And they're like, oh, yeah, we can do it. So Vince doesn't seem to think it's a pile driver.
How?
I don't know, but Vince doesn't think so, so I hope he's not listening.
That's so strange that, like, he's like, well, he's hitting his head differently.
Yeah, no, it's just a flip. It's not a pile driver.
That's so weird.
Yes. Top rope Canadian Destroyer? Cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
To the apron? Through a table?
Yeah. Whatever. Go for it.
But moving on, we have confirmed entrance for the Hall of Fame. Batista, the NWO, JBL, and the Bellas.
I'm excited for Batista. And maybe the NWO. But, like, at the same time.
I hope they'll be able to make it there. Or, like, up to the ring. We also I don't know, Kevin Nash. Him and Hogan got a pretty good limp going on.
Yeah, very true.
There actually is speculation, though, that British Bulldog or Jushin Thunder Liger could be put in it, too. Those are unconfirmed.
They should definitely put Liger in there. I mean, he was part of WCW, which I guess technically is now part of that company, but, like, him retiring was really big in New Japan this year.
Yeah.
So that would, they should definitely put him in there, because that would be, well, if he accepts it, you know, because, I mean... Mm-hmm. Not people turn it down.
Yeah. Not to mention names.
Yep.
Do you think we'll have a run-in this year, though?
What do you mean?
Like last year when someone like ran into Bret Hart and then, you know, there you see background shots of other superstars handling it, or so to say. Like,
oh, no. I'm sure.
Taking care of business in the back.
I'm sure they changed the seating, so like the whole front end probably won't have a lot of people in it.
Yeah, or you just see like a wall of security guards come out.
Yeah, exactly. So they can avoid that again.
That would actually be like really funny if someone played off of that and they like ran. They came out with just like a bunch of, you know, like indie stars dressed as security. It's like, just so we don't have a Bret Hart incident.
Yeah, right. anything else on the wrestling news front? Or in the news front in general?
Nothing new. There keeps on being like speculation that Paige may come back, but I'm not sure where those are coming from. It just seemed like one person put out a theory video, then like five or six other people put out theory videos because of that. There doesn't seem to be any source.
And the bubble grew and grew.
So if Paige does come back, you heard it here first. Otherwise, that is just unspeculated nonsense.
That is true.
Speculated nonsense. There we go.
Speculated nonsense. Mm-hmm. That is true. Now on to the weather.
Back to you, Ron.
Well, let's go ahead and run down the Revolution real quick. I would say this is probably one of the best pay-per-views I've seen in a very long time. And in particular, probably one of the best tag matches I've ever seen.
I don't know, man. Takeover Portland was pretty good. But it was still pretty.
Takeover Portland was with who is that again? I cannot believe I'm spacing on this one.
Mm-hmm. Rhea, Bianca, Johnny, Finn. Nothing. There's like a fatal four-way for the cruiserweight title.
Sorry, I registered that you were talking about a tag match that was on there. I was like, I don't remember.
No, not a tag in particular.
Okay. We'll just go ahead. Let's just start off right off the bat with Dark Order versus SCU, which kicked off the show. It was a good match. I did enjoy towards the end the tease that Christopher Daniels did, mm-hmm. where he was like almost looking like the
Exalted One.
Yeah, or no, he looked like higher power, like from WWE, like came down in the cloak and then just went and wrecked house.
Yep.
Pretty solid match. I mean, their Dark Order ended up pulling on the victory, which I think SCU as being the first like tag champs, they can take that loss.
Yeah, probably.
That'd be okay. Plus, the stuff with the Dark Order is really finally starting to pick up, so you want to give them that steam, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be in the rhyme there.
Yeah. And then there's this week.
Huh?
And then there's this week.
Yeah, this week was this week, but
Yeah, they have to hit a reset. Like, we had a pay-per-view. Let's, like, move some feuds along.
Yeah. We'll get to that later. But there's a pretty big reset that I want to talk about. I'm excited about. But next match.
Debut.
We had the debut of Jake Hager against...
Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah, I almost said Darby Allin. That's not yet.
I almost said Dustin Reynolds.
So, this was a good match. I haven't seen... I mean, obviously, nobody's seen... Jake Hager wrestle in since like early 2010s ish.
Yeah, we the people.
Yeah.
I think he had 1 week where he said like he's gonna come back, and then there was one match
five-star wrestling that he lost,
and that was about it.
Yeah, so it was pretty I forgot how just strong he is in general. Just like he's very imposing in the ring. Obviously, like his MMA stuff. I mean, it's MMA, so he's, like, terrifying in that. Mm-hmm. But this was a pretty solid match. I'm glad. Actually, well, Jake ended up picking up the victory. Obviously, it had to happen. But it didn't have to happen. You know what I mean?
It kind of did with, like, the debut as him as being the tough guy. You can't really have him, like, lose.
Yeah, but they did the same thing with Wardlow and Cody. And Cody ended up winning. But Wardlow still looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying. Like, he didn't necessarily have to win.
But Cody. Cody had to win.
But it was nice that it was good that he ended up picking the victory. I think Dustin now is pursuing tag team. I'm pretty sure he said that he was going to team up with QT Marshall afterwards.
I would think so.
And, like, start a tag team. I forgot what they – somebody's online had – what was the – or it was either online or they said it was, like, the Natural Nightmares is the tag team name, which is interesting. Because I guess
I'd be okay with that.
They said QT Marshall is like the adopted cousin of the Nightmare family.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the next one? Oh, gosh. So, number three match. Probably one of my favorite singles matches of the night, even though it was a little bit shorter than. Well, it seemed a little bit shorter because most of the match wasn't technically starting. We had Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara, and Darby just starts out with running down the ramp and diving outside and just them just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
With that beautiful, what was it, a 620, a 640 off the top rope through the table
that
Sammy did the Darby. Oh my goodness. That was great. It looks so good. But yeah, just a lot of huge spots as it was supposed to. There was a really scary top rope Spanish fly.
Yeah, that looked like he landed on his neck.
He
landed head first.
It was right as they were about to jump. Like Sammy did not, like he didn't have his footing on the rope, and then he finally kind of got it before he was able to do it, but that was dangerous. There was a lot of just being dropped on the head in general in this.
Yeah, that's true. You're like, oh, that.
That's what.
The neck. Watch the neck.
Like, I've never winced as much in wrestling as I do here, even though in AEW, even though, like, I do sometimes when I watch, like, WWE pay-per-views, and I feel like I shouldn't worry about it as much, but like
I still think that Michinoku driver on the ladder was the worst.
Oh yeah, I think a lot of it is like, and I don't know if it's just me from watching so many years of WWE, but like their matches eventually have that same kind of pattern and rhythm hold, like not necessarily the storyline, but the matches themselves. So then when I see something out of the ordinary, that's when I'm like, that's either
which
really
is anything
awesome.
Else.
Yeah. Or that's when I'm like, oh, somebody like, did somebody just fuck up? Like someone serious, like when Goldberg tried to do the jackhammer to the Fiend.
Yeah.
It was just like, just garbage.
Yeah. I don't even know what you call that.
The belly flop of doom. But yeah, anyway, sorry. So
the Jack Mallet.
So the Darby ends up picking up the victory and for this match, and he's about to basically just beat him with the skateboard, and then Jake Hager comes and saves his Inner Circle brethren.
Yeah, I thought that would happen before the 1, 2, 3, but whatever.
Yep. My notes are all jumbled around. All right.
Next up, Nyla Rose versus Chris Stratlander.
I don't think that was the next. I don't think that was the next match.
Oh, no, that wasn't. Young Bucks versus Page and Omega was.
Yes. This match was like, holy shit, good. Like, really good storytelling in between. There's a lot of, like, even in just the faces, like, on the Young Bucks, like, you can tell, like, I think it was Matt was getting more annoyed than Nick was. So then, like, Matt was pushing to do, like, the, Omega and Ibushi's finisher from New Japan, the, like, golden, oh, God, what the fuck?
I don't know what that's called.
It's that thing, what they did at the end when, like, he was, like, they were holding both his arms, and they both did, like, a double knee strike at the same time. I can't remember the name of that, but, like,
that I remember what that was, but I don't know what it was called. Yeah. I just saw it, was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, then you can tell it was, like, even as the match went on, there's just, the animosity grew between, with Hangman and the Young Bucks, and you can tell it was, like, it's like Kenny Omega's stuck in the middle between everybody. He's just trying to be the peacekeeper. But, like, I think Matt spit in Hangman's face at one point. So then Hangman spits back at, you know, later on in the match. excuse me.
Yeah, this is the greatest story in wrestling right now.
It really is.
The slow build is so great. It's got such just so many levels.
And I would say my favorite point of the night was when Omega tried to hit the one-winged angel, and he couldn't do it because, like, his shoulder was really messed up. And at that point, they tore all the, like, whatever that tension tape is off so they can, like, beat on him more. So then Hangman tags himself in and does the one-winged angel. Yeah. And almost had the three count, but then who did he hit it on? Did he hit it on Nick and then Matt interrupted?
I couldn't tell you.
Gotcha.
They look the same when they're moving that fast.
That's very true. But yeah, I mean, it was a great match, and it ended with the champions retaining the title. There was more tension afterwards. Like, the way the camera was set up, it was like Kenny and all of them were like, you know, they're shaking hands and sorry, you know, apologizing and stuff. And, like, they were looking at Hangman, and the way they were set, it almost looked like they were getting ready to, like, super kick him. Mm-hmm. But then they extended the hand out, and, like, he left. But then Hangman put his belt down and was, like, looked like he was ready to do the buckshot lariat on Kenny. But then he just held the rope and went down. Like, this, there's so much teasing. It's like, who's going to blow up on who? This is good storytelling.
I'm wondering how long they're going to make this last.
They could go for I would say they can go a little bit longer. Shit, tensions were pretty high this week on Dynamite. We can get into that a little bit, but and I feel bad for this next match because we had Nyla Rose versus Chris Stratlander.
Yeah,
and that was following the next one. That one, you can tell the crowd was deflated.
Uh huh.
Because I mean, there was just like.
Also, Nyla just won the title, so I felt like everyone was like, yeah, Nyla's kind of got this.
I am glad, though, it wasn't necessarily a squash match.
Mm-hmm.
Chris got her offense in, but, I mean, no, we expected Nyla's going to hold on to that belt for a while, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's what they tried to do with Riho, but she was just never in the U.S.
Yeah, pretty much. Although I will say the belt looks really nice. On Rio, because she's like a very petite woman.
She's so tiny.
It looks like a bracelet because of how just gigantic Nyla is.
Yeah, that's why when it's like, oh, Riho versus Nyla, like, of course she's going to win. Like, look at the two.
I was talking about the belt. Like, the belt looks it looks like a toy belt.
Yeah, I know.
But when Nyla's holding it.
I know, and I was talking about the size of Riho, so yeah, yes, that would true. Make it look small. she would make the belt look big. There we go. Words.
Up next, we had MJF versus Cody in the grudge match that everyone was waiting for. God, not even grudge match. It's going to be a blood sport, basically. MJF got... Oh, so just the amount of booze. Like everything he did was just met by a shower of booze, which is understandable because
he's the best heel in sports entertainment right now.
Yeah, it was incredible. But yeah, basically, like a lot of this match just seemed like Cody just beating the shit out of MJF. There, MJF did get some offense in. There were a couple spots.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. There were a couple spots where Wardlow, tried it and did some interference. I know he, I think it was like Brandy went to go, do a diving, elbow or something on Wardlow, and he caught her. Mm. And then you just see out of nowhere, Cody just comes to the rescue and just blindsides him.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But yeah, and I would say with the way I was happy with the way that it ended, not because I picked MJF and that secured not necessarily the win for me, because we were still tied with Kevin and Todd, but I was already there. Do you hear that, Todd? You're never going to get this belt. You got to do some work, son. But the ending came when MJF, he got the ring from Wardlow and tried using it, got caught. I think he low blowed him, actually.
Yeah, I think so, while they're throwing the ring away.
And then, or no. I think Cody low blowed him, and then he hit the crossroads. And then instead of pinning him, got up and hit another crossroads, and then went to go hit a third one. And that's when MJF kind of slipped back, and he bounced off and just jacked him in the face with the ring in hand, and that's and got the pin on him.
Oh yeah.
It was Saturday, so I guess that's almost an entire week. That's 3 hours of just nonstop wrestling.
And it was also followed by Pac versus Orange Cassidy, which was
honestly
just comical and amazing.
That match was so funny,
especially when they did have the final moments when it was like, oh, Orange Cassidy is actually trying a little bit.
Still, the best promo ever was the Wednesday before. He's like, you've seen him at 0%. Imagine what he's like at 1%. Pac and Orange Cassidy. This match was just great. I mean, I love how Pac did the kicks along with them, towards the beginning. And like I said, Orange Cassidy is just really good. It almost makes me happier that he has this character that is very low energy. What was his finisher called? I keep wanting to say freshly squeezed, but it looks like he does like a suplex, but then he turns it into a stunner.
I don't know what it's called.
That was the first time I've really seen that, because I've never really seen him do that ever, because he doesn't.
It might be called freshly squeezed. I don't know.
I would love if it was called freshly squeezed. But yeah, I mean, in the end, Pac obviously won.
Yes. That was always going to happen.
Yeah, but it was a great match regardless, and there was a lot of times where you thought that, holy shit, MJF actually might win.
You mean Cassidy?
I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. I looked at my paper, saw that, and then that registered. And then our last match of the night.
Yeah. John Moxley.
You didn't hold the John out long enough.
That's true.
John. I we should get a huge group of people going and just pass out signs with the O's. And just have a giant John going across the stadium. Because they're in Chicago so much. You might as well,
Yeah, I don't see any reason why not.
this match was great. I don't think it's my match of the night. Or my favorite match of the night. I still think that's a tie between just how entertained I was with Pac and Orange Cassidy. And how good the Young Bucks Kenny Omega Hangman Page match was.
I don't actually know who I would give it to,
but the
probably Darby Sammy.
Yeah, that one was good. I keep seeing that 6:20 in my head. It's brilliant. Anyway, Moxley and Jericho.
Moxley is no longer blind. I love it. Jericho's funny. Like, you cheated because I'm prepared for someone with one eye.
Yeah, when he was talking about that on Dynamite this week, it was so funny. This is the best, shit heel tactic It was like, oh, you know, that's this. You cheated is because of this, you know. just a good match all around. This wasn't announced before then, but Moxley, I would say it was a lot of back and forth, but I'm trying to think. There was just, I think, honestly, at that point, I was so burnt out from how much wrestling there was that I just remember the final moments of him like peeling back the eye patch, and everyone's like, "Oh my god!" Even though like it was bleeding at some point.
I think it was the other eye.
I thought it was.
Yeah, because Jericho's going for the good eye.
Okay, but yeah, and then just the celebration afterwards was awesome.
Yeah, like,
the roof just came off that place. So, but like I said, I think this is definitely one of my favorite pay-per-views I've seen in a long time. I would guess going back to Portland, NXT Portland, I personally might like this one more, except,
like, I don't know, man. Adam Cole, Ciampa.
See, I don't know. It's like that Young Bucks match really, like, that almost, like, all these matches were great, but that Young Bucks Hangman match, I think, if you're talking it when it comes to story and just in ring, like, in general, like, in ring action, I think that was a better match than the Gargano Adam Cole one. I'm sorry, Ciampa Adam Cole. He was in it.
He was there.
I think, well, yeah. Yeah. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the best ones. I don't know if the best one, but it was one of the best ones I've seen in a while. Top five.
Yeah, definitely top five. And I mean, I feel like we say that every time AEW has a pay-per-view, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we also saw Super Showdown right before that.
Yeah, so that's true. That is a very valid point, but I think even if I didn't, I knew that was going to be shit anyway. So I don't think that didn't have the Dragon Ball Evolution effect. Like, that's my rate where, like, I am, my expectations are so low when I go see something that it's actually turns out to be good and I was entertained. Like, I knew going into Super Showdown that this was just going to be garbage to your wrestling. Like,
and I was still disappointed.
Yeah, exactly. But, and I wanted to mention too.
Sewer Ziggler was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
Somehow.
I'll give you that. I wanted to mention too during Revolution, they aired a commercial, I believe March 27th is the date. They're doing a special edition of Dynamite called like Blood and Guts or something.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, and the I love the tags. It's like two rings, one concealed cage. You know the rest. This is war. it's like we're not calling it War Games, but you know it's War Games.
Yep, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so I they haven't announced the match for it. They just like this is happening. So I'm psyched.
So we got to keep a lookout for teams of four. Oh, I would love if they put the Young Bucks and Omega and Pac on. Omega and why can't I think of his name now?
Hangman.
Yes, thank you, Paige.
Yes,
and put them on one team.
I was gonna say what match do you think would? Because when you think of like cage matches, like with like that's like the it's gotten so extreme. It has to be contained in this kind of cage. You know, War Games is like where the War Games aspect, I think, is like all these storylines sort of meshing together into one. So there's like the continuation of all of the storylines are happening just in one match. So what do you think would be that?
I don't know, but I really want to see Omega and Paige and the Young Bucks in one team because that would just be hilarious.
You know, actually, if they did a match, because it seemed, especially after Dynamite, which we'll talk about in a second, but if they have the Dark Order, because it seems like Dark Order's been kind of harassing everybody, like especially after this week, like there's like the Nightmare Family and the Elite were like kind of involved.
Yeah.
And then they've already been.
And they do have four SCU. Regular members.
Yeah. So that would be good to have like Dark Order versus Hangman and all that, set it up for next week or something. And then that's when the tension comes in.
Yeah. So Paige and Omega lose the tag titles. Paige wins the title, and that announces he's actually a member of the Dark Order.
He's the Exalted One.
Oh, that would be
a twist. That would be the hardest flip, because he's. I feel like he was supposed to be the heel, but now it seems like he's more of the babyface.
Yeah,
and that would be a hard turn. That would very unexpected. And then Matt Hardy becomes the Elite One.
Yeah.
Yes. And then there's a big battle. He absorbs the dark. He throws everyone in the Dark Order into the Lake of Rejuvenation.
I wonder what they'd all become.
Ooh. The Broken Order.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So moving on to Wednesday night, not Saturday night, we had AEW Dynamite NXTs.
I believe AEW still is way ahead in the ratings, like, yeah. Consistently.
Yeah, and I cannot see this night being any different because of some great stuff.
Yes.
We start out with a promo from one John Moxley talking about his win at Revolution, how, like, we... as in you and me, because he was talking about everyone, yeah, brought back. We are the champion, mm-hmm. my friend. We'll keep on fighting till the end.
So I'm technically the AEW champion. I did not lose a championship at Revolution.
Yeah, but then...
I just traded it.
I became a double champion then.
Yes.
a
transitional champ. Damn it,
I knew I should have worked out my other shoulder.
That's transitional anyway, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So we had... Yeah, so... He mentions how he knows stuff with Jericho isn't over, but he's, like, gonna face anybody because he's a fighting champ kind of thing. It was a very, like, it was, like, a typical babyface promo, but he had so much, like, vigor mm-hmm. that it really worked, and the crowd was, like, super behind it. Jericho comes out afterwards, says the whole, like, I trained to fight a one-eyed Moxley, not a two-eyed Moxley.
Yeah.
It's the best excuse ever. Mm-hmm. And says,
I love it.
They had a match later tonight. It was Sammy and Jericho versus Moxley and Darby Allin. And Jericho said that if Moxley leaves on his own accord, he will basically take a 60-day sabbatical.
Mm-hmm. Which you're thinking, given his Fozzy tour date.
Yeah, that's why everyone's like, oh, he's going to be going on tour. So, our first match of the night was SCU versus and the Colt Cabana in his Dynamite debut, mm-hmm. which is, I love Colt Cabana, versus all of the Dark Order, Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, Alex Reynolds, and John Silver. This was a pretty good match. There was some back and forth that was going on towards the end. excuse me. I honestly for the life of me remember how the finish went. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. Oh, wait, no, I do. Because the such gorgeous looking move that is the Chicago Skyline that Colt Cabana does, mm-hmm. that weird like backdrop over the top turnbuckle kind of thing into his like Superman pin.
Yeah,
I really like. He's so deceptively like agile because I always forget how big Colt Cabana is. Like he's a bigger guy. Like I always think of him like as like a more cruiserweighty kind of person.
Here.
But then like you see him, he's very bulk. You know, he's very built. So for him to do like those springboards and all these crazy stuff, it's really really nice to see. But yeah, so he pulls up the pin. The Dark Order start attacking and whatnot. And towards the end of it, Evil Uno's like in the ring on his own because everyone else gets beat up and all of SCU just start whooping on him. And he's running out. He's like, this isn't how it's supposed to go. The Exalted One is near and when he comes, blah, blah, blah. So unfortunately, no Exalted One this week. So,
yeah, they teased it hard.
Oh, yeah. They're really like.
I hope it's not Matt Hardy or Brody Lee.
It's Paige.
Watch it sting.
That would be so funny. They had just Raven sitting in the crowd as like the most red herring.
Watch, it's like, really Raven.
I would be okay with
like
Raven.
Weeks later, he's like, I gave it away.
I would be okay with Raven, but like the only reason I feel like everyone wants Matt Hardy to be there is because his character leans more into what the Dark Order is. Whereas if he's coming in with this broken universe, like, unless is he like he would have to start just from scratch with his own thing, unless he is the Exalted One. Although I do have a theory. But we'll talk about that in a little bit.
I think it's Sting.
I think it's Sting.
Sting has his last match with Taker in Saudi for all the Saudi money, and then he joins and becomes a member of the Dark Order.
That would be so funny.
Limited wrestling, no neck spots.
Right. Up next we had a big Make Big Swole Look Good match against Leah Bates, the librarian.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Swole looked good.
Yeah.
Nice little squash. Britt Baker was on... commentary is what it seems per usual for a lot of the women's
matches. But she got a big shh because the match didn't go for more than like a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about that. Up next, though. Ooh. The juicy part. So Cody comes out with his wonderful neck tattoo all kind of tucked away in his suit jacket.
Yeah.
And starts cutting a promo about how the thing with MJF was personal, and then it became, or no, it was professional, and then it became personal, and then it became professional again. And, like, called him out to say that he beat him face-to-face. And then, just out of nowhere, Jake the Snake Roberts comes down the ramp.
Did he have Damian with him?
No.
Oh.
The crowd reaction was amazing, because it was, like, a brief second of confusion. There was like the music we've never heard and the graphic was still working. But then right as Jake the Snake flipped on screen, everyone goes nuts. And he promo wise, he still has it.
Oh yeah.
Like 100%. He goes in and like just tears into Cody. Like, saying how he needs to stop being, like, a whiny bitch about MJF and all this other stuff. And he called Arn Anderson a one-trick pony, which I love.
Feel free to bring that one-trick pony with you.
But he basically was like, I have a client that will be – that is – essentially, he's like, that is not – for lack of better terms, the end of you kind of thing. I think I wrote down some of his lines because there's some of his stuff that he said was amazing.
Can I do one?
Is it the thing he says when he leaves?
Yeah.
All right, we'll wait until that. So he says Darkseid. He's going to bring Darkseid to AEW. Now, I don't know if
that's... Oh my God, a boom tube opens up.
Yeah.
Foolish mortals.
That would be so funny. No, I think because there's three people that are rumored to be jumping in.
Lance Archer.
Yes, Lance Archer, Brody Lee, and Matt Hardy. So, and I think one of these two, like the Dark Order and this now Jake the Snake stuff, like. Is that has to be one of those two.
Or Gangrel.
I feel like though, like the two people that would lean more into this quote unquote dark side character would be either Lance Archer or Brody Lee.
Or Gangrel.
I don't want Gangrel. No, don't say that.
Hey, that man can still deliver a delicious impaler.
Oh no. But yeah, he's saying
that wasn't the coolest ring entrance of all time.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I'll give that to you. But yeah, he's like, I'm not here in AEW for part of the pie. I'm just here for yours. Like talking to Cody. And then go ahead and say the best line of the whole night.
He said, "You never turn your back on anyone you fear or respect."
And then
turned around, just chucked the microphone over his shoulder to Cody.
So I think he said next week his client Darkseid is going to be there. So I am so excited.
Which Brody Lee is supposedly supposed to show up next week. So
that would we'll be. See. That would be awesome. It was just really great to see Jake in the ring again. And like, after like, did you see? Have you seen his the documentary about him It's like the I think it's like the resurrection of Jake the Snake or something.
No, I missed that.
It's super heartwarming because there's a lot of parts that talk about like the one that's like one of the first times he really realized like the fans still believe in him when he had to do like a GoFundMe page for a surgery he had, and they like filled it overnight basically.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wasn't it like a couple hours?
Yeah, so like him coming out and getting that pop, I can't even imagine just how great that must have been.
Yeah, like, he's like, shit, I have to be a heel.
Yeah, then he has to be a bad guy. Oh, I will say, and I love this, he kept saying oh Caesar over like when he was talking to Cody, like because the whole like the Elite are very like, even they're the ones who are running it, but they're also the forefront of all the storylines. So he kept calling him Caesar during the his promo. It was just great. Good shit. That's why the ratings are up. What do we have next? Oh yes. After that promo, we had Pac versus Chuck Taylor.
And it's not over.
Yeah, it's not over.
Pac versus Orange Cassidy too.
Well, it's even better because so the match was pretty good. I do enjoy, like, I like when they do the singles actions with the tag teams because it really does showcase like how good they are individually. Not
the opposite of WWE.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like, all right, tag team, we're gonna have them wrestle single, you know, because and then these guys, yeah, we're gonna put them in a tag team.
Yeah. I wrote it down somewhere. The match ends, I believe, Chuck goes for, I think it was a somersault or a moonsault. Pac gets the knees up and then puts him in the brutalizer. Afterwards, the Orange Cassidy runs into the ring, along with, Trent, and Orange Cassidy gets in Pac's face, and then the Lucha Brothers come out of nowhere and start just whooping on everyone. Basically, Pac was like,
"That's kind of what they do."
Yeah, and then Pac was like, "This is a new, like, basically, like we're all together." Like they call themselves the Death Triangle, which I know they also said it in Spanish.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounds way better in Spanish.
Yeah, it sounds a lot better.
It's like El Triángulo de Muerte.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
it's Triangula like de Muerte. Muerte.
Yeah, so I'm hoping they kind of, but then at the same time,
Triangula de Muerte.
I don't know if that would be too close of another like stable like they had in New Japan, the Los. Oh no. Why did I start saying this if I can't remember how to say the name?
Los Tres Amigos?
No.
That's good, because that was Eddie's move.
Los Tres Amigos. But yeah, so that'll be interesting. It's another superhero faction. But I also was thinking, this really is starting to feel like they're building a, like, three-man tag stable, like, thing. Because I know that they talked about maybe doing the three-man belt, like mm-hmm. tag belt. And if you already have this, plus Best Friends with Orange Cassidy, Jurassic Express.
Dark Order.
Yeah, like, I mean, you already have...
Nightmare Collect. Oh, never mind.
Cool. Like, you already have all that set up, so that's it. I'd be interested to see where they're going to go with this, so... up next...
Three Librarians.
Yeah, right? Oh, in between that, there was also a MJF promo. I love how he had, like, a big, like, Band-Aid just the middle of his forehead. And, you know, he said that he was going to go after Moxley's belt, which don't. Or do, because Moxley will ruin him.
Yeah, like, that'd be funny.
That would be really funny if he just, like, if that happens and then Moxley just shits all over him. But then, yeah, he pulled out. He like unbuttoned his shirt and unbuttoned his button and had a shirt that said "I pinned Cody" underneath it.
Yeah, that was great. Which was great.
Yeah, and then after that we had Jake Hager versus QT Marshall. And I wrote next to it Hager Maximum because the match wasn't necessarily a squash, but it was like those, like when you play like RPG or like Final Fantasy, and you go into an area where there's monsters that are like way stronger than you are.
Yeah, you hit them five times, they hit you once, you fall down.
That's what this match was. It was like QT Marshall was getting offensive, but it clearly was just not as good as Jake's offense.
Yeah.
Which I really like, which I thought that was really cool. But after the match, Jake Hender ended up putting QT to sleep.
Of course he did.
Yeah. After the match, you know, he's still beating on him. So then this is where all of the crazy kerfuffle comes in. Dustin runs in to come help QT Marshall, who was then followed by Santana Ortiz, start beating him down. And then Cody runs in and starts helping them out. Then I think it was Santana hits Cody in the back with a chair. So then they're all getting beaten. And then Matt Jackson runs out because Nick apparently wasn't there that night for, like, not storyline reasons, but just, like, in general, he wasn't there.
Probably filming another episode of Free the Delete.
Yeah. So he comes out and starts to help him, but then they start getting beat down. And then Hangman Page finally comes out. He's, like, has beer in hand. He's, like, you know, kind of, like, swag, like, has, like, a weird, like, stagger to him and stuff. And he gets in the ring, and, like, they're, like, ready to fight him. He's, like, so, you know, put his hand up. He's like, whatever. So then they just turn around and start beating everyone else. He just puts his beer on the ring post and starts whooping on all the Inner Circle, doing one of the best buckshot lariats I've seen from him. Like, or at least top five.
He really unloaded there.
Yeah. Or Jake threw him over the top rope and he had his like drunken swagger and then goes and does it again. So they chase him off and Matt Jackson like yells at him for taking so long or something. And then he just, Hangman just flicks him off and then leaves, like grabs like a bunch of beers as he,
which was awesome.
Yeah.
Just like, all right.
He had like three beers in his hand by the time they were at the top of that. So yeah, that was really good. I'm so happy.
That's something you can tell your grandkids.
That's so
good. I handed my beer to Nick Jackson.
Yeah, or Hangman Page.
Oh, sorry, wrong one. Yeah. Actually, I think at a TNA house show, I saw someone hand a beer to Bobby Roode when he was still beer money.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Good random moment. Anyway, sorry to interrupt with that nostalgia story.
So the last match of the night, we had Jericho and Sami Zayn versus Moxley and Darby Allin, which actually...
You mean Sammy Guevara?
I'm sorry.
Sammy jumped ship.
Oh, no. Sammy Guevara, yes.
He should. But they'll never use him.
Technically, the match was only Jericho and Sammy versus Darby because Moxley gets jumped by masked men who turn out to be the Inner Circle.
Yeah.
And he's out the whole match. So Darby is just, it's just him. And at one point, taking on like a 5v1 because all the Inner Circle is there and he does like a crazy coffin dive at the end. And, like, there's, like, a lot of back... He's constantly fighting. I'm pretty sure at one point he, like, crawls over to the corner and then hot tags himself.
Yes,
and
he does.
And, like, gets up and starts fighting again. But the end of the match, which was just beautifully timed, was Darby goes for a dive on the outside and Jericho just turns and nails him with the Judas elbow, which is, like, the first time that I believed that legitimately could have fucked somebody up because he just drops and like they just threw him in the ring and that was it. And
it's a powerful move.
Yeah, it was beautiful, timed perfectly. But so then after the match, Moxley comes back, starts fighting everyone off. Then he gets beat up. Hager puts him to sleep. Then they drag him upside the ring and then powerbomb him through a table. So technically, he didn't leave on his own that night.
That's true.
Yeah. So yeah, that was AEW. Some good stuff. Really good. Really good post pay-per-view show. Pay-per-view.
Yeah. Now let's move on.
How is NXT?
It started and ended with Steel.
Like the comic character?
Exactly.
Ooh.
One was played by Shaq, one was played by the animated version. So we start off with a steel cage match with Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai.
Ooh.
One of the greatest moments in here was when Nox hits a choke slam from the top rope and like in the middle of the ropes. I don't know, she just decided she likes canes, and now the choke slam is part of her like normal moveset. But then she kind of like climbs up and sees Raquel Gonzalez on the outside and is like, yeah, anyway, so she just, like, jumps back in and does this beautiful crossbody. Like, they used the cage really well this week in NXT.
That's good.
So then Nox like goes up for the climb again, like, or she's like over the top and like climbing down, and that's when Raquel Gonzalez is like, ah, and she starts pulling Dakota Kai. But Tegan Nox like kicks the door in on her knee, and then Raquel's like, oh no. So she grabs the cage and like pins her between the cage door and the rest of the cage. So Tegan Nox just has to watch as Dakota Kai like recovers and slowly crawls out of the cage. Yeah, it was like really well done. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was nice. Next we had a Finn promo. He's going to see Walter soon.
Volta.
Yeah, I think he's got something to do at Dublin Dublin Takeover NXT UK.
I hope Walter just like demolishes him.
That, no, it's going to be competitive. Finn's on his big like comeback streak, and they're in Ireland.
Yeah, but
I don't know who's going to win. It might be like Imperium shenanigans and Finn turns face. Maybe, I don't know.
But like I can the size difference is so vast. It isn't just Brock Lesnar, because like it's not a big guy who just does one move. I can see him trying to go for the drop kick. The Walter just like
swats him away.
Not even that. Just like grabbing his legs and then swinging him. Like,
nah, I don't think they'll do Finn that bad. This is not the main roster.
Yeah.
Vince hasn't given up on him yet. Poor Ricochet.
Poor.
Next up, we have a Ripley promo, which she basically says, to be the best, you need to beat the best. Which is like, okay.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
Yeah, so she's just kind of like paraphrasing, because, you know, she's going to face Charlotte at TakeOver. She's kind of like walking around Tampa during this promo. It's nice. Moving back in, we have Shotzi Blackheart in her adorable tiny tank. She's facing Chelsea Green of the Robert Stone brand. The winner of this is moving on to the number one contender ladder match at TakeOver Tampa.
Okay.
But it just said multi-woman, so I don't know if this is like a triple threat, a fatal four-way, or
this match or the match in Tampa?
The match in Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just one-on-one, but...
Well, I mean, that'd be kind of interesting if they did like a leading up to it, they would have like different women's matches, mm-hmm. like, and then certain winners would be put into it.
That's what they're doing. They're having perfect. This was the first qualifier.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She's the first one that qualified. I just said that, the winner.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah. Anyway, Green won this with an I'm prettier, as she's calling it, not an unprettier, which she didn't execute that well last week. Better this week, but still doesn't look that good. Like, Shotzi just kind of like, I don't know if she pulled out of it too early or if Green didn't have her arms in right, but Christian still does it better.
I'm prettier? Does she really call it that?
Yes. I mean, she's a heel. It fits.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Moving on, we have Keith Lee and his buttery, buttery voice delivering about a minute of promo, saying like, oh, who's going to be my next opponent? Dijakovic? Priest? Which brings out Grimes.
You got to get that butteriness. Who's going to be my next opponent?
I can't do Keith Lee. But yeah, out comes Cameron Grimes, because he beat Dijakovic last week. And The boos were so overwhelming that Cameron Grimes kind of like, it seemed like he forgot his lines and he was kind of like repeating himself to try to like, you know, I guess he wanted the crowd to like be quiet. And even Keith Lee was like, I want to hear what he has to say. Wow. And then as soon as Cameron Grimes started up, they just started booing him again. So Keith Lee just shoves him out of the ring. And he's like, I may have put on a 5-star match, but you're a 1-star or something like that. He's like, you want a match against me? You got it. But Grimes basically came up to tell him that Regal already gave him the match, so.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Keith Lee was just like, I'll see you next week. I think when in doubt, just have Keith Lee pounce you out of a ring or into a crowd.
Yeah, right.
I kind of think that Damian Priest is going to interfere in this one, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I don't know, they might have some kind of a fatal four-way between these four, because it just kind of seems like, I don't know, the North American title picture is pretty hot.
Yeah. Well, it's because Keith Lee's the champ.
Mm-hmm. And we're all just basking in his glory.
Oh, baby.
Moving up, we have the Undisputed Era versus Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. This is a pretty good match, as you would expect from these two. Not as good as their last encounter, but still pretty good. And Lorcan has his, you know, crazed brawler moment where he just runs around and hits people, and then flies over the ropes and does insane things in a rage. I like it.
At one point, he like does a dive out to the ring, throws Undisputed Era like back in. The important part here, though, is I can't remember if it was Mauro or Nigel, but one says he throws Bobby Fish, the legal man, in. But then following by Kyle O'Reilly, throws them both in the corners. Boom, running shoulder tackle to Fish. Boom, running shoulder tackle to O'Reilly. Boom, high-low combo in the middle of the ring by the Undisputed Era. 1, 2, 3, Larkin just takes the pinfall.
Damn.
But it's by O'Reilly. Which, like, I wouldn't have actually noticed if they didn't say, like, oh, the legal man. I didn't see a tag at some point, so I don't know. There might be like a rematch coming on at some point, or I don't know, maybe a title shot.
Interesting.
Because afterwards, the Undisputed Era called out the Broserweights. Was like, yo, man, we want a title shot. Like, we need a rematch. And, of course, you know, this brings the bros out.
Hey,
and
bro.
They almost actually agree to give them the match, too, till the Grizzled Young Vets come out and take out the bros. And they're just like, out with the old, in with the new. So I kind of want to see some sort of like Fatal 4-Way between these guys. A lot of Fatal 4-Way builds.
Yeah, it's a lot of Fatal 4-Way builds. Yeah.
Or they'll just like have a triple threat next week to eliminate them to see who faces the Broserweights. With hilarious commentary.
You just see Matt coming out and be like, hey, bro, the rematch clause has only happened sometimes, all right? You guys just don't get it. But yeah. Seth and Murphy can.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
I hate when they do that. Just, oh yeah, the last pay-per-view, we're doing it again.
Who do you think would be, if they do a Fatal 4-Way, who do you think the other team would be?
Oh, that would be 04, or 04, all four. Broserweights, Undisputed Era, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan, and then the Grizzled Young Vets.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, they would be on the bottom rung since they just lost.
In theory, but,
yeah,
you know. NXT, that's, tell me you don't want to see that Fatal 4-Way match in some capacity at Tampa TakeOver.
Yeah, I would like to see, if as long as not everything's set up to be like a multi-man match.
Oh, give them an Elimination Chamber at Tampa TakeOver the day before.
I would
be interesting.
I would accept that only because it's an Elimination Chamber match that isn't on Elimination Chamber.
Exactly.
That's what I want. Like, I don't like stipulation pay-per-views, or match gimmick pay-per-views, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, which is weird, because the Elimination Chamber is one of the ones that I actually like. The Hell in a Cell is horrible. That still needs to be like, okay, guys, this feud's getting out of hand.
I feel like
in a cell!
No, the Elimination Chamber has been in other pay-per-views before, right? Okay.
Yes, it has. I believe it originally was a SummerSlam debut. Shawn Michaels was in the first one. I know that one for sure. He won the first one.
That's right.
In terrible, terrible brown tights.
Match gimmick pay-per-views aside, I do like the Elimination Chamber. I like that maybe more than Hell in a Cell.
Just because Elimination Chamber would be really hard to like write into a story. It's like, okay, all six of you want the title.
Is it also weird that I would like the Elimination Chamber also because I know the cage isn't red?
That's a plus, yeah.
Yeah, because that shit irritates me.
Well, I think it was just the red light.
No, it was even with the...
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did start coding it beforehand.
Yeah, it just doesn't look very good. And, like, I know when you're like, there and you're sitting in, like, the back, it's, like, horrendously distracting. Because you're just looking at a giant red thing and, like, with, like, you know, beige things moving around inside of it.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of getting something.
Yeah. Sorry for the sidetrack.
Yeah, a little bit. Moving on, we get Austin Theory versus Swerve. Oh, poor Swerve. He's been taking a lot of losses lately. He was in control until interference from a commercial break and a gut-wrench suplex.
Oh, okay.
That was something, too.
It's like commercial break, the most devastating move.
Yeah. Theory's arm had actually been, like, worked on during the match, but he still hoists Swerve up for a one-armed ATL. I mean, it was a good match. It was, like, good worker. Both of them are going to be stars, but, like, Swerve has been taking a lot of pins lately.
Yeah.
I don't know. He still didn't really look bad, though, but a lot of pins lately. Next up, we have a Gargano promo. He's doing an interview with Ronaldo where he actually, like, kind of ends up getting in his face, like, screaming, and he's going, you know why I attack Ciampa?
Oh, be careful.
Yeah, Ronaldo.
I'm upset, Ronaldo.
He actually just, like, I'm uncomfortable, and gets up and leaves.
I'm uncomfortable.
Like, that's the end of the interview.
That's funny.
Yeah, I liked it. You can kind of see, like, Johnny Gargano just, he kind of like, it's like he's working. It was kind of like the Ciampa one, but like Ciampa slowly worked himself into a rage where Johnny was like slowly amping up and then ramping down and then slowly ramping up and then calming down.
Yeah.
Until he just went crazy and yelled at Mauro. Don't be a JBL.
Yeah. Don't be a JBL.
Well, then again, he's going into the Hall of Fame, so maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Have your finisher be a clothesline. Yeah, it's fine.
Make fun of people with known mental disorders.
Yeah. So, next up, main o'clock. Yes.
Main o'clock?
Yes, the main event. Main event o'clock. We have Roderick Strong versus the Velveteen Dream.
Ooh.
And yeah, like, this is kind of a gray area as to who's the bad guy, because like Roddy came out in street clothes, like he was wearing like jeans and shoes, like he was ready to just like fight. And, and Velveteen Dream is talking about his wife and stuff. It's kind of like this is like they're both tweeners, kind of. It's a little bit weird.
Well, that kind of happened at Revolution when it was like during the Hager Dustin fight when like Dustin like Dustin or Hager's wife took a swing at Dustin and he caught her and then kissed her. Like, yeah, it's like, that's a heel move from like, technically. Mm-hmm. And like what Velveteen's doing is a heel move, but it's also like, just, I guess like super seedy psychological tactics.
Yeah. And it kind of worked.
I suppose.
It kind of worked. Cause Marina slides a kendo stick into Roddy at one point. And then, but then, you know, it was like, hands up to the ref. Like, I didn't do anything, even though it's like, okay, this is a cage match. It's no DQ.
Yeah.
Like,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He saw the kendo stick and didn't take it away. But Dream actually gets it at one point and starts wailing on Roddy until Roddy gets it back and uses a modified backbreaker because it's Roddy. Of course he does. He does backbreakers.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Well, I would have to actually mention a couple more spots, mainly the one where Dream gets an Olympic slam from Roddy off the top of the cage.
Ooh.
Yeah, like he's climbing up and Roddy's trying to stop him and he's just like, oh, nope. Boom. Mm-hmm. Also, Roddy's butt crack does make a surprise appearance for longer than you'd expect.
Yeah, did it get a big pop?
I don't remember.
Debut of Ronnie's butt crack.
I don't remember, but because I was distracted when the Undisputed Era came out. And then he actually kind of like holds his own. He like knocks Kylan Fish off by like hitting the cage with the kendo stick, which sort of makes sense. Like Adam Cole's about to get in the cage and he just like chucks him off the top rope. But then of course, you know, Roddy's got to the door at this point and Dream catches him, looks back at Cole and then just chucks him out and locks the cage. And then Adam Cole gets destroyed by Velveteen Dream and a steel chair and a kendo stick. Yeah, like they keep trying to get back in and Dream's like hitting him with the chair and fighting him off. Like Roddy actually does get back in the cage at one point. And Dream just, like, knocks him with the chair. He's in a Tree of Woe position.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and, it ends with Cole getting the Dream Valley Driver onto the chair. Velveteen Dream grabs the title, like, goes over, puts it in Roddy's face, says something, and then stands over Cole holding the title.
Ooh. You got another triple threat four-way for the NXT belt?
No, I think it's just going to be Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole.
Yeah, I guess they like Champ is probably sidelined with Gargano right now, which will be set that up.
Yeah, Cole Gargano, the finale.
Ooh, taking out Velveteen Dream, putting the belt on Velveteen would be really cool.
Which is good, because Undisputed Era is probably getting called up.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, they could swerve us and be like, no, and then have Cole lose it the next night, but I don't know why they would do that. Give it to Keith Lee. Maybe that's why they would do that. Ooh. Keith Lee loses the North American title at Tampa, and then he wins it from Adam Cole on WrestleMania.
Okay, yeah, that would be actually really sweet.
And we bask in his glory.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. But NXT. Speaking of future things, we can't do that until we go to Elimination Chamber.
Yes, that's true. So my illustrious title will be on the line. Because I'm a fighting champion, despite the fact that we didn't defend it at Portland, and this is such a short amount of time, but I'm just, you know.
Well, I had a perfect card at Portland anyway, so we know what would have happened.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I would have won at Super Showdown, despite the fact that that was garbage.
Despite the fact that that was garbage.
Yes, and now I will win at Chamber.
You will not.
I want to throw a speculation out there first, because it hasn't been made official, but it kind of seems like they're starting something with Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak.
do you think? Pre-show?
I think I probably actually I'm pretty sure it says on like the Wikipedia page that they have a match. Like on the Elimination Chamber 2020.
But it has not been confirmed by the WWE page, so we can't actually say that yet.
But also, at the time of recording, SmackDown has not happened, so more than likely that's going to be, if they're going to do that, they're going to have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, if that match does happen, I believe that one Daniel Bryan will be taking the victory.
I am calling one Drew Gulak.
Ooh, shit!
I mean, I don't think by any means it's going to be clean, but I think Drew might pull one out and then there's some kind of a blow-off match that happens later. I think Daniel's trying to use his power for good.
All right. So this will either be the start of a great night for your champion or the slow demise. Right off the bat, the pre-show is like the first determined. That's rare.
Probably that one, since you're staring at the most dominant champion we've ever had.
Yeah, okay.
Since we started keeping records, was the beginning of this year.
Since we started creeping records, yeah. No, we still had a champion. I think we got a belt this year.
Yeah, I also think before we started keeping track, I think I still was the most dominant champ.
You can use it over there, stroking your beard, feeling all good about yourself.
I am.
It's going to feel so great when I hoist the belt over you.
Moving on. Speaking of obvious match outcomes, Braun versus Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Who do you got?
I'm going to have to go with Braun on this one. Vince does not care about any of those three.
No,
the only thing I can think about is if Vince, for some reason, watched an old match of China and Jericho and was like, oh, they were the co-champ. That was fun. Let's do that again.
Yeah, like triple co-champions. No, Braun's definitely going to win this one. They haven't done anything of noteworthy with any of these people. It would be so weird if they were just like, oh, and going into WrestleMania, there's three people that are the IC champion.
No, it's going to be Braun, and then at some point he will throw all three of these outside of the ring and run all three of them over. I'm just not sure who's going to take the pin.
Probably Shinsuke. Shinsuke or Sammy?
Yeah, I was thinking Sammy.
Definitely Sammy. Now that I think about it. Let me mark that. So, yeah, we're both going for Braun on that one. That's a pretty obvious choice. Up next, Andrade versus Alberto Carrillo for the U.S. title.
I think they're going to keep it with Andrade.
I was thinking the same thing. Especially, I mean, he just got back from his suspension, quote-unquote, or his injury, quote-unquote.
Yeah, if they wanted to take the title from him, they probably would have done that before he got suspended.
Yeah, so, I think this feud might stick with him and Umberto. I don't know if they're going to bring Angel Garza back in the mix, because that match between it was like those three and then Rey Mysterio, I think, was like awesome.
I still want to see a fatal four-way between Andrade, Umberto, Angel Garza, and Mysterio at Mania.
That would be a good match for sure.
For the U.S. title in a TLC match or just a ladder match.
Ooh. Just everybody murder yourselves.
Yes.
Like, basically.
Yes, and it will be glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Glorious! Which brings us to the men's tag team Elimination Chamber for SmackDown, where The Miz and Morrison will be defending against the Glorious One and Dolph Ziggler, Rudolph.
Rudolph, the red-nosed wrestler.
Heavy Machinery, Lucha House Party, which shows you the state of the tag team division in SmackDown, New Day, and the Usos. Mm. Who do you have?
See, I'm kind of torn because Miz and Morrison just won the titles, so it makes sense that they hold on to it. But I also feel like the Usos might take it.
I'm actually torn between those two as well because of a comment that was said a few weeks ago on SmackDown, where the New Day has 7 reigns and the Usos has 6. So it would make a lot of sense for the Usos to win it going into Mania.
And then they can have them versus New Day?
Exactly.
Because I don't know if Miz and Morrison is like a official forever tag team, you know what I mean? They just came back, but at the same time, are they going to rush them breaking up that quickly?
I don't know, but it's also an Elimination Chamber, so you don't technically look bad losing because you had to face 6 other teams.
Yeah, I guess that's very true. I think I'm going to go ahead and go with the Usos. Mainly because it's been a long time since I've really seen them on TV because of, you know, all the law.
Mm. I think I'm going to have to actually go with Miz and Morrison to retain.
No, we're just...
I think they'll find some other way to take it off of them, but I don't think they're going to do it here.
All right. What we got next? Aleister Black versus AJ Styles.
In a no DQ match.
Mm-hmm. Who you got?
I think, see, the no DQ kind of makes me think that the OC is going to get involved, but that also kind of makes me think that the Undertaker is going to get involved.
Yeah.
So I have to go with Aleister Black on this one because he also needs to make up for that pinfall that AJ's got over him.
Yeah, that was actually the Undertaker angle. If they didn't pursue it on Monday, I wouldn't have thought that he would have or the Monday after Super Showdown. If they didn't go that way, I would have probably thought differently. But this is definitely setting up, like, Taker showing up, costing him the match, you know?
Mm-hmm. He just walks down with a trophy.
Yeah.
walks down carrying the trophy over his head, like, this is awkward.
Oh, hopefully we'll get the badass biker Taker. He'll have the trophy and, like, the sidecar to his
He's been thrown in the lake of rejuvenation.
Yes, now him and Limp Bizkit riding into the sunset. So next, now I don't know. This definitely isn't going to be the main event because I think we already both know what the main event is going to be, and I know we already have the same person winning that match.
Yes, the final chamber. Yes. But let's.
Up next would be Street Profits versus Seth and Buddy Murphy, or just Murphy.
I've got the Street Profits retaining.
Yeah, me too.
Because auto clause bullshit. Or auto rematch clause bullshit.
Yeah.
There's so many teams. Give someone else a chance.
Even that, I mean, I feel like this whole thing with Seth and Kevin Owens is way more interesting and is probably going to be more of them facing each other at WrestleMania.
I think that's going to be the exact same finish they had on Raw where it looks like they're about to cheat. Owens comes in, like stunner, 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, moving on, we have our final elimination chamber for the number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship. We have Liv Morgan versus Sarah Logan versus Ruby Riott. Oh, the Riott Squad. Do you think they're going to have a moment where, like, all three of them team up?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of nixed that on Raw. Yeah. Versus Asuka versus Natalya versus Shayna Baszler. Mike, why do you have Shayna Baszler?
Well, Basham. Because it's Shayna Baszler. They've been setting up her and Becky for too long for her to lose that spot at WrestleMania.
All right. I am agreeing.
Yes.
Because so,
that would be stupid.
The only thing I could think of is this is, in fact, a swerve.
I don't know.
And somehow Shayna gets back into the match, but they just give it to, like, Sarah Logan or something like that.
No.
Because Vince is like, no one will see it coming. We've been burying her for years.
No, just don't.
I don't think so. But remember what we all thought was going to happen at the Rumble.
Yeah.
But also, Charlotte is not in this match.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Also, like, the way, like, I love Becky, but she's definitely has an air of arrogance to her as of late. And I don't know if it's her trying to be, like, cool, coming out with, like, big glasses and stealing Jerry's hat and her crown and all the stuff that she's been doing. But, like, I don't know. I don't think you can have Shayna as a heel, as, like, a face, really. Especially if she's, like,
no, never.
Biting the chunks off of people's necks. But, like, this definitely seems like it's setting them up to face each other, and then Becky to lose at WrestleMania because she's letting her, like her hubris got to her.
Yeah, I think that's how she comes back. She's like, I got arrogant, I got careless.
Yeah, after her and Seth go away on vacation for a bit.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, she has to start at the bottom. Dana Brooke, now's your time to shine.
Yeah, right?
Just give her one win over Becky. Have Becky demolish her the next week, but just give her one week, or just one week where Dana Brooke beats Becky.
Right?
I don't care how.
So yeah, those are our predictions for Elimination Chamber 2020.
So the title would be decided by a match that may not be on there, or the Elimination Chamber.
Yep. So
the SmackDown title
that might not be on there. So yeah, we'll have to see about that on SmackDown this weekend or this week. But yeah. So next week we will have our results to this. I will celebrate my retaining my belt, of course.
I highly doubt that.
We'll also have our review of Bloodshot, starring Vin Diesel, the grumbly D&D player himself. I'm so psyched for that movie.
Which I wonder if this character will be any different than his other characters.
As long as I just want him to talk a little bit louder. That's all I'm asking. Just no whisper talking.
He has some pretty good depth in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
He is Groot.
He is Groot. But like, just there's no inflection in Fast and the Furious or Pitch Black. Or
he's not supposed to have emotions in Pitch Black.
Or that movie where he's like a babysitter.
The Pacifier?
That's it. Even when he's, you know, being peed on by the baby.
Yeah.
I remember that movie. He'll never forget that movie.
I don't think any of us will.
Well, that's during his rock phase. Everyone has, and John Cena is in it right now. Everyone has, like, all of these big jacked action heroes always have that weird phase where they're in, like, really shit, like, family movies.
Hulk Hogan and the Nanny.
Yeah, The Rock and the Tooth Fairy.
Schwarzenegger and, well, there's a list.
The Last Action Hero is in one of those. I'm watching that when I get home. I'm so psyched.
Yeah, it's still pretty good. Well, I was gonna say Kindergarten Cop, but that's still pretty good too.
Yeah,
even though it's ridiculous.
But yeah, John Cena is currently in his funny dad like family comedy stage.
Hence the JBL haircut.
Mm-hmm. But then it's gonna kick off in the gear just like The Rock's did when he is in the new Fast and Furious movie.
Then he's got to shave his head.
He's literally doing the same projection that The Rock is doing, minus being the Scorpion King. Haku Mashante. Just like, mwah. That's the highest paid actor in Hollywood right now.
Yep.
So, yeah. Bloodshot next week. My celebration next week as well.
Well, one of those is happening for sure.
As always, make sure you guys follow us at House of Pod 1 on Twitter and Instagram. I think we've been using it more.
Slightly.
We'll get there. But yeah, as always, I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
Fairly well.